Amen. Praise God. I say praise God.
Hallelujah.
All right. First Samuel chapter 2. We are reading from verse 2. And we are reading all the way to verse 10. It's our way of declaring that the Lord is good. We're saying there is none like Him. There is none holy like the Lord. Father, we give you praise. We receive your spirit into our midst again today. And we carry your presence with us everywhere we go. And your presence with us right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And we declare concerning you. Thus, want to let's go.
There is no one holy like the Lord.
Indeed, there is no one besides you. Nor is there any rock like our God. Boast no more so very proudly. Do not let arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and with Him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are shattered, and the feeble get on strength. Those who were full hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry cease to hunger. Even the barren gives birth to several, but she who has many children languishes. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the shore and raises up. The Lord makes poor and rich. He brings low, he also exalts. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with nobles and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He set the earth on them. He keeps the feet of His godly ones, are silenced in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. Those who contend with the Lord will be shattered. Against them He will thunder in the heavens. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth, and He will give strength to His king, and will exalt the horn of His anointed. Hallelujah. Our God is good. I said our God is good. From Him we receive insight. From Him we receive understanding. From Him we receive direction. Therefore we declare as follows. That the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Lord is good.
All the time.
Let's take our seats like we are blessed. All right, good morning. No, the year is coming to an end. But as the revelation don't they finish, Chef? Have you ever? What do you think? All right, so we have 2 more Saturdays. And the last Saturday is going to be a kind of special one. We will not say what it is so that people will not come because of it. Come first, you will find out. Now let's open our Bibles today. We'll start from the book of John, the Gospel according to John. I want to read a small portion there to explain a particular principle. John chapter 1. Let's begin from the book of John chapter 1 from verse 19. It said, this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? At that time, there was a heightened sense of expectation in the air. The spiritual climate was charged with the expectation of the Messiah. All right? A height had been reached in the realm of the spirit. So anybody that seemed like he was up to something, they wanted to know, are you the Messiah? So they sent to John, who are you? And he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. That's the person they were expecting. They asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? And he said, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, no. Then they said to him, who are you? So that we may give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? In verse 23, which is the reason why we are reading this, John said, I am. Then he began to quote from Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40. He said, I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as Isaiah the prophet said. I'm not going to read beyond that, all right? For introducing our message this morning. John was asked, who are you? He said, the scripture describes me. I am that voice you read about. Because the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40, a voice is crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord. I just feel like reading that Isaiah chapter 40. It said, a voice is calling. Clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Verse 4 says, let every valley be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. And let the rough ground become a plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Let me just stop reading that one there. Now, John was telling them, that is my word in the scriptures. That is a portion of scriptures that describe me. Now, I'm not going to talk about John today. I want to just let us know that these things that we read in the scriptures, they are not peculiar to these men. Please, every child of God should bear this in mind. You are not a common person. You are not one of the commoners. You know, they use the word commoner in English. That is the English, England English. Are you getting my point? Yeah, they have commoners. You understand? This is we have modernized it. We have different words we use to describe the populace, the average person. The American will say the average Joe. Do you understand? We talk about every Tom, Dick, and Harry. Okay? Now, you are not one of them. You are not a Tom, even if your name is Tom. Are you getting my point? Yeah. Because as a child of God, every person is unique. Every person is unique. Every one of God's children is unique. Everyone. Everyone is unique, not just in your fingerprints. Yes, we know your fingerprint is very unique. Your DNA is unique. Even if you're an identical twin, when you're born, your DNA will be perfectly, may not even be 100%, maybe 99.9999, but, all right? That's the people that share the strongest, you know, similarity in DNA. But we know some things happen along the line. Little mutations develop to make you even different. Now, as you know, identical twins are identical to those who don't live with them. Yes. As identical as they are, their mother can tell them apart in the dark. I told you I had a friend, you know, family friend who you grew up with, all right? We're about the same age. You know, those kind of people that all the siblings are about the same age, all right? We're just like that, okay? We went to the same church. This guy is my age. His younger sisters, just, you know, 2 years younger than him. They're identical twins. Real identical. Really identical. One day I was in their house. No, I was just saying, how do you guys manage? And I went to see him. I was in their house. So the ladies passed. I said, how do you guys manage in this house? He looked like that they don't understand. That even the sound of their voice, he knows it. He can tell it apart. You know what he said? He cannot see the similarity. Yeah. Meanwhile, these girls are perfectly identical. But I still remember the amazement. He said, look, that he has all said these things all the time. That they don't understand what we are saying. That's when he told me that even when they talk, he knows who's talking. Just to let you know that even when you are an identical twin, each person is still unique. Where's our bro? No, we have two identical twins here. All right. No, I mean, two sets. Okay? Uh-huh. But you know one set. The other one, his twin is not around, okay? He and his brother, they don't behave alike at all.
I can't tell them apart really from a distance, but closer up, I've not known them enough to be able to tell. Do you understand? Their behavior, very different. Because each one of us, at the end of the day, we are very unique. Children of God are like that. That's what I'm making. And I'm not preaching for you to just know about life. I'm preaching for you to know about yourself. And one of the challenges we have in this life is not to be carried away with comparison with other people. Believe me, it's tough. For me, it happens. I mean, like, the temptation happens. So I fight it regularly. I have enough scriptures to use to fight it. And I win every time. And when the thing wants to start again, I know. I just wait till evening. I go, so handle you. All I need to do is have a quiet time alone and recite some scriptures and remind the Lord. Actually, you know, you're not reminding the Lord. He never forgot. But while you're having conversations with the Lord, you remind yourself. So what you do is make your commitment to the Lord again. That people are running different paths in life. Do you understand? Yes. They are running very different paths. Please, this may sound like I will know, but every time in life you get challenges. So there are times you are sleeping well, everything was okay with you, until you get news of something that happened to your cousin. Then what's the first thing that comes? What comes to your mind? God. You start measuring. It's human. Pastors, they fall for it also. And how do we count? Congregation numbers, branches, if we are founders of branching churches, branches. Do you know, fact, titles, people have. I said, if it is now, you know, just that when I started being called Pastor Banky, it was a joke on campus. We're friends, you know, in fellowship. So, you know, the way young people behave. That's, if it is now they want to give me title, I choose brother. So that way, you know, I'm not in a race with anybody. Like Brother Hagin was Brother Hagin as an old man, Brother Hagin. People started respecting him, calling him Papa Hagin, but was never a title. In his tapes, you hear Reverend Hagin. But in real life, they call him Brother Hagin. I like Brother Agbili. You know Brother Agbili? Yes. Well, he knows that he can never be promoted. Brother Agbili can never be promoted because there's no senior brother. He just bro. It's such a safe place to be. It's when you are reverend, you are venerable, you are canon. You are bishop. That is when competition starts. So if you're venerable and you're a canon, I'm not abusing you. It's not your fault too. It's your structure that you belong to. You understand? But generally, that's when competition in your heart. The church doesn't have a problem. You're the one that really has a problem. Yeah, fact. Do you know, some of us, we preachers, we start branching. Not because we are called to branch, to open branches, but because we have to collect the title bishop. And you cannot be bishop when you have only one congregation. So quickly open. Once the branch is reached like 10, you call your friends. They do coronation service. They consecrate you as bishop. What? Just so that you can. What is it, self? Waiting. That thing has. Look, that's not our message, but for those of you, it has caused problems in churches. See, one of my friends, all right? Is an elder in his church, that their pastors have fought for title. One day, we had a program. One man came in and they introduced him. I was the one coordinating the meeting. So I decided, should please recognize this man. I saw him wearing his clerical stuff. So I said, who is it? They wrote his name for me. Let's just assume his name is Damage John. So they say, Bishop Damage John. So I introduced him. Bishop Damage John is with us. So I called him forward. We thanked him for coming. I gave him the mic to pray, to say a word. So when we've closed, this my guy came and said, that man is from his denomination. And by the way, we don't use the title bishop. Yeah. He told me we don't use the title bishop. I said, but they told me bishop. He said, that's the problem we're having. Now, he's an elder in that denomination. He said, where did the title bishop come from? He told me the name they use. That they keep having that problem because those men, they're big denomination, all right? Very big, one of those big ones in Nigeria. He said, but when they go for meetings like Cannes and places like that, they are not recognized the way they should be recognized. So they come back home complaining. So they, when they go out, they call themselves bishop. I mean, I don't feel anything, but I laugh about it. Is a bishop. In fact, me, you know, the other day, Elder John decided to baptize me bishop. He calls me, say, our bishop. Hey. By the way, in the scriptures, bishop is the name for deacon. Yeah. When the Bible says, does anyone desire for the office of a bishop in King James? Timothy was supposed to appoint bishops. Bishops worked for Timothy. Just for you to understand it. All right, but that's just by the way. It's not important. See, that's not a doctrinal issue. What did I say? It's not a doctrinal issue. Let me stay on. Because of Damia and John and Co. Let me just explain some things. Any title you like is your problem. I can't fight you over it. Pastor Iyadiboye is called Pastor Iyadiboye, even though we know he's prelate Iyadiboye. That's his real name. You get what I'm going to say? He's senior to most prelates and bishops and archbishops in Nigeria. His name, Iyadiboye, is a title. You get my point? When I get promoted, after I have become bishop, I've become archbishop, I'm now a supreme bishop. Say, okay, what do we promote you to say? Adeboye. Do you get my point? You get where I'm going to go. So, please, let's not get stuck on titles and let's not criticize titles. They don't mean anything. It's the way you identify people in your place. So, some people say the word bishop is wrong. It's not wrong. You get what I'm saying? Just know what they mean. It doesn't mean they are going to heaven. It just means that they are in charge of a number of churches. You can be a bishop, die, and God say, I don't know you. Please, I hope I'm clear. So I don't want us to stay on that. But people just get, you know, that's what I'm saying. People get into those things. We start getting, you know, into competitions. One brother spoke to me once in his congregation, the denomination he works in. Again, one of those big ones. He feels called. The work God has called him to is plant, you know, churches. He keeps planting churches. Now, he's been there for long. So the normal thing is what? Promotion and elevation, stuff like that. You become, like we're talking about, something like a bishop and stuff. Move towards the headquarters. But once he moves in that direction, he perceives that his grace drops. So he has a habit of rejecting promotion, choosing rather to go to the frontiers to still keep planting churches. He doesn't feel comfortable being the head of 6, 10, 20 churches, district, you know, whatever name, superintendent, overseer, bishop, whatever. People use different names. Superintendent, you understand? Some people say in our church we don't use the title bishop, but use the word overseer, which is the same thing. One is Greek, one is Latin, one is English. Do you understand? And some people say our pastor is very humble. It's Pastor Iyadiboye, but general overseer. That is English for archbishop. Do you follow what I'm saying? So don't feel spiritual. Because we don't, in our church, we don't like title. Our pastor is called Pastor Iyadiboye, but you call him general overseer, which is English for saying the Latin, archbishop. I just feel like emphasizing that. So sometimes Christians get hung up in this. Like that. Anyway, this is my guy. He insists on always staying, let me use the word, low. There's only one problem with staying low. Humanly speaking, salary shall be low. Yes. Honorarium shall be low. Retirement package is also low. Except that, that is what Christianity is. Low is your portion. Do you get what I'm saying? The human tendency is to want to climb, because the salary gets better, the honor gets better, not just honor, the honor and the honorarium. Just by the way, that's the temptation of life. That's how to miss your destiny. Life is always an exchange. You are exchanging something for something. Yeah. Yeah, you are exchanging something for something. Don't forget, you're always exchanging something for something. Make sure all the time, as much as you are aware of, gladly exchange the temporal for the eternal. Do you get my point? Gladly do what? Exchange the temporal for the eternal. A lot of people exchange eternal things for temporal gain. This is what my brother I'm telling you about. You know where your gift lies. Maybe they throw you into an area where there's never been a church. Within a year, you will have put two sticks or four sticks down, put a small straw canopy over you, and there will be 20 people worshiping. People have never been to church. Some people are that gifted. They are that gifted. It can be a rural area. And because of the way the gospel is, learning from a man like Paul, you are just going to go there giving. Paul said, it's the right of every preacher to be supported by the congregation they are preaching to. Yeah, it's in scriptures. I don't have time to go through it. He said, but I chose deliberately to relinquish that right. You know why he said so? Paul's reasoning was very interesting. He said, at least let me know I did something for the Lord. He said, but you are preaching for the Lord. He said, no. Preaching doesn't count. You know why he said it doesn't count? He said, woe if I don't preach the gospel. He said, if I preach, necessity is laid upon me that staying alive requires preaching for him. To go around preaching the gospel, he said, it's nothing. He said, woe is me if I don't preach the gospel, using the King James expression. That you don't understand. I can't breathe if I don't preach. My food will not digest if I don't preach. I will not stay healthy if I don't preach. What am I using my eyes for if I'm not preaching? Why do I have a mouth? So when I preach and preach and preach, there is nothing, Paul said, to brag about. So I looked for something to brag about. He said, I'll preach without charging. He said, so I never lay hold of that right. So it is not wrong. See, sometimes we criticize things we don't understand. Do you know? Again, please. You know, I keep saying many things. Let me talk just freely. You people make me look like I'll stay on your topic. I will not. People, you know, preachers, people love to abuse and criticize them. The painful part is for things they don't understand. They say that preacher is not working. The statement you made has no meaning. It's like saying that painter is not working. You can see him painting. And you say what? He's not working. You see somebody making your clothes. He's sewing. Say this tailor is not working. So you bring your clothes for him to sew. You don't pay. That he should go and get a job if he wants to eat. You go to a hospital. Say that doctor is not working. You can see he's treating a patient. He's giving an injection. He's straightening somebody's broken limb, applying POP to it. He's going to surgery. And you intend to walk out of that place free of charge. And when they say, doctor doesn't have money, say, his mates are working. Why can't he work? Because you know one doctor, and I know many, who farm. There's one of my colleagues, he's late now. He was in, somewhere, Abia State anyway. All right? You know, there are boys who grew up going to school. People like you. But some who grew up on the farm. Some of those farm boys. He's a surgeon. He was a surgeon. He's late now. Very brilliant. In fact, interesting bro. You know, he's from the West. He's from Oyo State. So he has this deep tribal marks. He was working in Abia State though. All right? One day, the first day I met him, you know, you judge a man by his tribal marks. Just as him say, We went for a conference. Then he opened his mouth to speak. I had to turn. His English was, you know, smooth. And they were telling the story of what happened when they were in Hammersmith. Is that kind of, you know, Trevor Marks just throw you off, you know, that kind of thing. But he's that kind of farming person. He likes farming. Very brilliant surgeon. One day, we belong to a particular group together. He posted a picture of his yam. I'd never in my life seen yam that big. And he posted the picture because he had never seen yam that big. I know where the yam came from. He is a farm, but it is, he says, it's the soil where he used to discard, listen, the effluent from his pig farm. The manure from the pigs. So when they decided to put the yam there. So I've told you two things now. You want the piggery? And he found the yam. And he was a brilliant surgeon. So you see a man like that, you see another surgeon, say, he's not working, he should go. You know doctors that work. You're not, that's the guy you're thinking of. Because you've seen his yam. You've seen what he produced. That is what you say when you say a pastor should go and look for work. What you have said, preaching is not work. Pastoral use is not work. Which is not only an insult, it shows utter disrespect for the word of God. A lot of Christians don't know, let me educate you. Preaching is work. When Jesus says that virtue left him, when was I preaching, when this meeting moved to Saturday mornings, that was when I understood. Ask my wife. After standing here and preaching for like 3 hours in the morning on Saturday, by two, I'm still useless for any other thing. One day, Pastor Devon came to town. I actually had to ask him. He said, sir, is it normal? I said, physically, I feel strong. I mean, like, I'm not... Yeah, I can move around. If you say, come and run, I can run. I said, but I just feel unable to do anything. Some people expect me after that, yeah, go and look for work so you can eat. Let me tell you how you are. You are not only ignorant, you are very wicked. You're not only ignorant. You know what? You're wicked. I've just described what you do now. A surgeon operates for hours at the end of the day. You say, ah, God, thank you, sir. You carry your sick person, you go home. When they say, ah, surgeon never eat. He said, let him go and look for work. His mates are working. Those of you who go around telling preachers to go and walk. May God have mercy on you, but never say it again. Don't. Take it from me. I've done this thing for... Started preaching when I was on campus, but running a ministry and preaching regularly, on a regular basis. Weekly meeting started in 2003. Before that time, I was doing tracks, doing one of two, a few programs. Well, in 2025, take it from me. Preaching is work. Last time my colleagues and my classmates and I, we met. So everybody introduce yourself. What do you do now? I told them, I'm a teacher of the word of God. They gave you only 2 minutes. As I was dropping the mic, I said, oh, by the way, on the side, I'm a pathologist. I spent the whole time talking about what I do, how many books I've written, where they can get my materials, meetings I hold. As I was stepping, I said, oh, on the side, I'm a pathologist. I teach medical students. What consumes my brain, my time, my spiritual energy? I wake up at night thinking about what to preach, begging God, why have I not written a book in a while? Lord, what is happening to my anointing? I think it, I dream it. That's what, you know, it rolls around my brain. Just to educate believers. Do you understand? No, Dami. You know the way it is now. Once I go there, you know, I said, I have to, let's get back. Oh, so what's the place I'm getting back to? Okay, yeah, I was talking about, yeah, I don't know what I was saying. So that our brother, I don't know why I went to that. So he goes planting churches all the time. When the church blossoms and grows, his heart moves away again. That's the heart of an apostle. So people who take over churches that he planted, who got saved sometimes in the crusades that he held, they become regional directors. They become assistant bishops. But yeah. They got saved in crusades he held in one of those churches that he started. Maybe like 20 years ago. But they are now big. They've gone to Bible school. They are now established. They can teach. And they are willing to follow the ranks. And they've been promoted. The problem in such systems is when retirement starts. Human system, now let me just tell you, humans cannot reward you. Just leave that thing. They can't. Don't expect it. You are not working for them. I've seen pastors come to church angry. And I understand. Because the family didn't eat well yesterday. And they've been sweating and sweating. You want to travel, you call, pastor, please, I'm traveling. You know what you mean. You know what you mean. You say you know. He must pray. You're getting to where you are going depends on his prayer. So he knows too. He will pray. Your son has a problem somewhere with his wife, with his job. You call him. Not only must he pray, he must counsel. And he does it to like 20, 30 people in the church. That his own children want to go to school. School is not complete. The guy will come to church on Sunday. How fire burns those who are not grateful. Yeah. Now, let me leave the congregation. Let me talk to the pastor. They didn't send you. They didn't call you. Don't be, that anger will make you poorer. That anger will make you poorer. Laugh about it. Don't look at anybody looking for something. No. Do your own job. You need something? Get on your knees. Pray to the Lord. Say, Lord, you are the one I'm working for. I'm not working for anybody else. Yeah, tell the Lord. And believe it too. It doesn't mean you don't know what is right, how things should be. But you see, I say all the time, everybody has his own commandment. Fulfill your own commandment. Freely you have been given the anointing. Freely give the anointing. Don't demand anything of anybody. Let God take care the way he wants to take care. God knows how he pays. He knows how he pays. You know, don't tell him where he must pay from. That's why I keep on telling you, wherever you are working, be faithful there. It's God you are working for. You don't know how he's going to pay you. He is the one that knows how he's going to pay. He's the one. He knows. He knows how he will pay. I'm very careful when you are following people. You know what I'm going to say? Some people will look at Mary Kay. She became very rich because cosmetic business is good. What you will not know, the woman labored, at least from what we know, labored well with her full heart for the purpose of establishing what we call righteousness in marketing and running a marketing business. When she first started the idea, all right, cosmetics was not in her mind. She wrote a book on how to run a marketing company because she had worked for a marketing company and retired and said this, their structure is not good. Things can be done better. So she wrote a book on how to do it better. She went to publish the book. Then something has said, so why should they read it? Who are you? She says, true, nobody should read a book by nobody. Nobody in quote. She's not a rich person. She's just a retired sales force, you know, member of a sales force. Okay. So say, let me put it in practice. She wanted to prove that these principles are right. She said, okay, what can we market? Then she remembered that, okay, my friend's father had this formula, a lady that she knew, that used to make the father's hand look younger than the rest of the man was old, but anytime you saw his hand, look at the hand of a young person. He said, why? He said, because he found out that he was a leather tanner. So he decided that there's something in his work that he always dipped his hand that must have kept his hand young. So they did chemical studies and all that and finally extracted what it was. But the family did nothing with it. So she bought the rights to market that. She wasn't trying to do any beauty product. She was trying to prove a marketing point. She could have marketed eggs if it came available. At that time, she could have marketed electronics. Anything. But cosmetics came in and she became Mary Kay Cosmetics. Now, where I'm going is this. When she became really rich, people didn't know. It was not cosmetics. God opened oil tap for her. Literal oil. Crude oil. But nobody talks about Mary Kay and crude oil because She's known for cosmetics. The time God wanted to give her big money, he made her invest in something. And the thing began. And this story I'm telling, if you do not read it in her book, Miracles Happen, you won't know it ever happened. God knows how he pays people. Be very careful when you are copying people. Oh. My friend opened a studio then in Enugu here. Then he bought a car. Then he did things. Bought a very nice, sharp ride. According to him, people said, man, there's money in the studio business. He never made money from that studio. He never did. But what we did not know is that the money to open the studio came from somewhere. That place where the money came from to open the studio was what produced money for him to do other things. Do you get my point? Yeah, to do other things. And it's not the kind of thing you will know. So you only see him going to his studio and say, man, studio business is good. That's even on the good side. On the bad side, many people are doing business. It's pure money laundering. You go and copy the business. You will think, man, nah, we don't make it. You go and borrow money from bank. Bank will sell your grandfather's land to get their money back. You go and meet Reverend Yinka. He'll write you a business plan. You are the one that says you should write it like that. How much you make? He will tell you, say, oh, God, it doesn't work. Say, hey, this man did it work. This, you go. You'll be quoting for him. At the end of the day, you won't know those you are following. Eh? It's something else they are using. A friend of mine told me once that a lot of people run. Okay. Some pharmaceutical companies. They were dealing drugs legally. People did not know. That was at a time NAFDAC had to ban licenses for importation of ephedrine. Because they would collect ephedrine license, import it is legal. They put it in nasal drops, in cough syrup and stuff like that. But it never makes to their company. They give to those who convert it to crystal meth, sold in the black market, heavy money. At the point in that NAFDAC, okay, we are not, in Nigeria, we don't use this particular brand of chemical again. Because they couldn't trace where the money was going, the drugs were going. They were going to backyard, inside the bush. People had factories inside the bush that were Mexicans were in Nigeria. And these guys will collect real license, legitimate. They have companies. They have everything. Guy will be driving, say, man, this business makes money. You don't know that he's not manufacturing jack. Takes all his drugs, which he imported legally, gives to those guys, they convert it to crystal meth. That's an aside. In this life, stop following people. That's what I'm telling you. Just do what you are supposed to do. If you're a preacher, Sunday Bakari said something. Some people say, these preachers I enjoy. He said, look, I'm a businessman. He said, I brought Skoda to Nigeria. But you wouldn't know if he didn't tell you. He said, I'm a lawyer just retained by God. So legal services for God alone. But business services. He said, I brought Skoda to Nigeria. He was doing all kinds. He said it. I'm not quoting something he did not say. Someone else said, these pastors are making money. Hey, God. You see, me anytime he travel, of course, I doesn't have time for sitting with the poor people at the back. Business class, first class, and stuff like that. He said one day they were traveling. His daughter came. She walked up to his seat where he was, either first class or business class. I said, Daddy, how come when we are traveling, you sit in front, the rest of us sit at the back? He said, I told the girl, because it's my money, I bought that one for you, you should be happy. He said, the girl, that's okay. When I'm big, I will buy the front one, I'll buy the back one for you. He told the girl, he said, don't worry. There's a saying in Yoruba land that the swamp was already wet before it rained. did you catch that? Yeah, it's a saying in the West. The swamp was already waterlogged before rain fell. The Lord is good. All of this saying, look, don't copy anybody. You don't know what's going on in anybody else's life. That's why I use all of this to explain to you. You don't know what is going on in anybody's life. And whatever you are doing, ask God for a reward. Ask God for his blessing. Laban will not pay you. God will. Potiphar did not have the opportunity to settle Joseph. God did. Potiphar did not have the opportunity to settle. If anything, he took away his rights. He denied him his inheritance. Of course, he did not know. If you did that to my wife, I'll do the same thing. All right? Unless God reveals it to me that you're wrong. And God did not reveal it for reasons that you understand. God needed Joseph to go to prison. That was why Potiphar married Mrs. Potiphar. He did not know. God sent Mrs. Potiphar to that house to send Joseph to prison. So let's forgive Potiphar. He acted as a man should under those. In fact, he was lucky that Joseph was lucky, in quotes now, that he didn't have him beheaded. But it still didn't pay him. Who paid Joseph? God. Who will pay you? Bear that in mind. That's what Christianity is about. Okay, having given that introduction, I just use that to explain the fact that your life is unique. Don't let anybody sidetrack you by accident. Giving you something that they give you, you know, you see your mates, so-called mates, which does not exist really, but let's just assume it does. You know, mates making a kind of progress that you are not making. You start making that a yardstick for judging your life. Meanwhile, your life is unique. But I like to use this comparison. Moses and Joseph, they both operated in that palace in Egypt. Joseph got in there as a young man, 30 thereabout, and stayed there when did he die? Is it 110 or 120? And you know how long that was, from 30 to that time. He was in the palace, working hard. In his later days, he may not have worked as hard, but he was, let's use the expression, it was a lapse of luxury. Even though he was working hard, forget the luxury, after a while you get used to it. The work, you will never, do you understand? But the work keeps on going. Moses was essentially born in that palace. Of course, he moved in there as a little boy. All right? So essentially, for all intents and purposes, he started there as a little boy. At the age of 40, he was kicked out of the palace. Yeah, by revelation. Two steps of revelation. One out, back to, among the slaves, then into the wilderness. By the dealings of the Lord. And he never came back to any palace. He became a shepherd. And he lived as a shepherd for the next 40 years. He now lived as a wanderer, leading stubborn people. See, Joseph did not lead any stubborn person. See, you understand that? Joseph did not lead any stubborn and rebellious anybody. There was law and order. He imprisoned princes at will. Moses, God has to be burying people for him. Rebel in Egypt against Joseph. It didn't happen. But you know what? Both of them fulfilled their destiny. Both of them. So if you are Moses, stop looking at Joseph. You're not going the same direction. That's the point I'm making. And you can both be in Enugu, and somebody's Moses, and the other person is Joseph. I heard recently, I was watching a video yesterday, somebody was preaching, a man who knew Pa Elton. The man said he met Pa Elton in 1980-something. Pa Elton has been in Nigeria since 36, thereabout. And that they used to come to his house. So the man was speaking, of course, if you were in university in 1982, 83, that's when he met Pa Elton on campus. You know, he's a small boy. And he said this maybe this year or in the last few years. So he's maybe an old person also. If you're in school in 1982, he graduated in, I think, 82, 83. You get? He said they used to go to Pa Elton's house because he said that time he's in school. He said, I will learn under this man. And God had him posted to the old Oyo State for NYSC. And his primary assignment was just a village next to Elisha, where Pa Elton was. So he lived in Elisha and was just commuting to the school where he worked as a teacher, as a core member. Are you getting my point? He said Pa Elton used to come teaching them. You know, they used to go to his house, about 10 of them, his sitting room. Every week they will go. The man will sit with them and teach them. The kind of patience Pastor Banky doesn't have. Maybe when I'm that old, maybe I will have it. I don't know. But right now, don't gather in my sitting room weekly and expect me to talk to you. Akindu will come and play cassette for you. But that old man used to do it for them. He now said that when Payelton first came, a lot of mission agencies heard that it was in Elisha. Listen to this. So they sent messages to him different times, begging him to move to Lagos. Now listen to this. Where he could have better influence, a greater whatever it is. And they were going to fund all of this and support him. And the man said, God sent him to Elisha. In fact, you can read his book. He heard Elisha first before he knew there was a town like that in Nigeria and where it was. He had to get a map to locate Elisha. It would have been a foolish young prophet principle for him to have followed somebody else out of Elisha. See, Christians understand something. Your life is specifically planned. You are not rumbling around saying, where can I land? Where can I land? God actually wrote a specific plan. I use myself as an example. I'm in Enugu today. Shortly after I decided to come to Enugu, it was as surprising to me as to anybody. By the time I married my wife, we came to Enugu. Within the first year of our marriage, we wedded end of 99. We came to Enugu September 2000. Fully. And God so arranged it. God so arranged it. Now, by the time I was getting married in 99 December, I had no idea in my mind that within a year, you'll be living permanently in Enugu. You don't understand. I wasn't thinking about it, but I had never thought about it. To my recollection, even though another of my friends said that, no, he also mentioned it before. But to my recollection, the first person who mentioned the idea in my hearing is a current bishop of the Anglican Diocese of Enugu. He just stopped by in my place and said, congratulations on this and that. So what's the plan? So I'm just still thinking, why didn't you come to Enugu? That's the way I recollect it. But a friend of mine said, no, that shortly after my wedding, that he also mentioned it. But make a long story short, it was after I got married. In December. It was when the man who's now bishop, you all know who it is, said it. That's I started thinking about it. I said, nice idea. I started praying about it. First time I mentioned it to my parents-in-law, I saw the shock. My mother didn't even hide it. She said, what is so called? Not, there's a way they express in Yoruba, right? They say, Antayo, Kilonjebe, you know, it's an expression. Literally means, what is so called? Not where is that? So it's not the town that is the issue or the city. It's the whole concept, the whole idea. So I said, we're thinking of going to Enugu. He said, what is that? What is so called? But God confirmed that, oh boy, that's where you will go. That's why as soon as I settled in this city, I started Kingdom World Ministries. My wife and I, just the two of us. Get my point. There are people who doubted. So the doubt did not crop up one day that was what I came to do. There are people who I interacted with, some who tried to get me to do some other things. I felt sorry for them. I said, you don't understand what's pushing this man. You don't get it. It was not incentives that was pushing me. You don't understand. You couldn't give me a free visa to go abroad. I remember when visa lottery thing was still, when it became, first, my friend and I is a lecturer in UI now. Well, the first person that I know, he was one that came to me and said, have I heard of US visa lottery? And I think I never heard of it. This was when before it started, we heard about it. So he and I went out one day. So we went to the USIS, United States Information Service. on Lagos Island. We got there. What can I do for you guys? So there's this lottery, visa lottery you guys are doing at the place. We want information. They didn't know about it. USIS staff did not know about visa lottery when we came to inquire. It was so new. So I knew about it very early. That's the point I'm making. So my friend, I said, okay, maybe it's not really so. So when I found out it was really so, we said, okay, I was going to apply. Now, because I thought they were just going to give you traveling visa, they now said, no, it's an immigrant visa. If you win, you have to move to the U.S. I said, I'm not playing. I wasn't married that time. I said, I'm not playing. Leave it. My younger brother, at the point that, you know, young guys now, so when the thing was getting digital, so when he was moving online, when internet was getting developed everywhere, so he and his friends were running a small business at home of helping people, you know, fill the form, upload. So, went home for Christmas. She and my wife, I don't know what they were discussing. So, he was taking everybody's picture. So, to apply for her and everybody. So, my wife and I came at home that he said, I have to come and take my picture. I said, why? That they said that because she's applying that she's married. So, they need information on her husband. I said, in that case, cancel the application. I said, cancel the application now. That they have to take my photo and apply. So if she wins, I said, see, there's no point. Cancel the application. If that is required to process her own, then cancel it. Because this guy is not putting his face down for you. Now, I didn't have to go anywhere. You don't understand. I was in my father's sitting room. We came home for Christmas to visit. I think Akinlo was a little boy, maybe like that kind of a year, two, that kind of thing. So those days was a bit free. So it wasn't a hard thing. All right? He just said, because my wife said, take photo. I said, is that so? I said, if that's the case, then forget it. My wife said, why? I said, because they say what a man does not want to eat, he should stop sniffing it. Say, what you will not eat? Stop sniffing. Stop checking the aroma. I didn't bother. You know why? It's simple. I did not have a shadow of doubt in my life that I'm supposed to be somewhere doing what I'm still doing now. People think you plan your life. You don't plan your life. God plans your life. You fit into what he has planned. You discover his plan. It's not, it's happening in this city. See, back to my brother I was telling you about. The Lord just stuck him in the rural part of life, so to say. Because his grace kept on showing there. He could plant churches. Maybe he won't be good at it. And you see, there's no competition. There's no competition. They give you some... I can't imagine myself wearing a robe. That's a robe is bad. That day I saw my son put somebody on his status. I won't tell you who. Guy was, you know, preaching. Good preaching. I'm not saying it's bad. I said, oh boy, tell this guy to stop dressing like a magician. The cloth he was wearing made him look so unserious, in my opinion. He said, you look like a magician. You preach good word in bad cloth. Now, that's what I think. My son said, the cloth is cool. I said, what's cool about this? People of you are in the same generation. He looks unserious. Let me not describe the cloth. So imagine me now, you come to church, I have those bivalve cap on my head. You won't listen to me. You'll be watching. What? There must be something I'm planning today. You know, in your mind, pastor must be planning something. There must be something. We'll soon find out before the end of the service. You won't hear what I'm saying. That's the robe is bad. No. That doesn't fit me. My friend is like that too. It promotes him to a high level, grace will disappear. But many of us think that he has made it if he gets that promotion. Do you know, the other day somebody insulted my friend, you can guess who it is, was going to minister somewhere. They now mentioned two prominent ministers. A friend of his now said, you are preaching where these people are preaching. Man, you don't make him. You know, For him, it was such a great insult. He wanted to reply. The Holy Spirit had to tell him, calm down. Don't say anything. Because one of the people they are mentioning is like 10, 12 years his junior. You understand? You look at it. No, no, honestly, let me not get into that thing. You know, somebody said that, you are preaching where this man is preaching. You don't make up. Make what? Are you out of your mind? If we gather our ministers, gather. This guy should clean my shoes. But because he's prominent. Do you understand? It's because his face is on billboards here and there. They say, now you and him on the same platform. You don't make up. The guy look like. See, this is what destroys human beings. This is why young people now, they want to make it. They want to make it. Well, let me not talk. There are some people who are talking one day. Somebody said, I look like the person talking. I said, excuse me, let's not sound like we are proud. This guy you are trying to compare some of these people with, these are the people you should compare him with. Because he's making noise. But with some people are prominent, they are this and that. You want to, please. That's why a lot of young people, they miss their destiny. There's one guy, he wanted to resign from one church. The ministry he was doing. To go and join one big ministry. So let me see to my message. Please, just let everybody run their own race. That's the point I'm making. A lot of people, and there are a lot of people coming to, they'll come and counsel you. This thing you are doing here, Pilton stayed in Lesha, did not move to Lagos. He did not build a big house. He was in his 70s, he used to drive himself from that Elisha all over the country. Until some of these, our big ministers this day, they went and said, Papa, we can't let this continue. They now forced him. They got him a driver. He didn't have a problem with it. But you know, we're still talking about him to today because of the impact he had. The person talking about him said, his wife never, he said, of course, quoted many things the Palestinian said to him. He now said that I can't quote two words for you that his wife said. That his wife was always there, but she never used to say anything. So you think that, what? See. He said, but if he's preaching, she isn't down there. If she looks in that direction, she does it, he'll stop what he's saying, say something else. He said, he's preaching, just looks in that direction. He said, there's a kind of look, sign she will give him, he will drop the subject. His wife says, enough. Power. Many people don't know. She was his teacher as a young convert. She taught him young elementary Bible. She was 13 years older than him. She discipled him. Many people don't know that. She'll be judging your life as by material achievements. The woman was okay with what she was doing. She knew that me and this guy were partners in a particular job. So I don't have to tell you at home, they were reading scriptures together. She probably gave him, the revelation the Lord is sharing with her. They discussed at home. But outside, she said she never spoke. When I read the book, I found that she was 13 years older than he was. For you to know she was important, when she died, they packaged another wife and sent to him. It was very old. They said, no, he needs somebody. They had a daughter who was growing, who finally died a few months ago, remember? But many of us, we don't like, you see, if God gave us an idea that we'll have a ministry like that, get behind me, Satan. How can I not become a bishop? Why can't my birthday be regional celebration in our denomination? Why won't my face be everywhere? And yet this was a man that was so anointed. One of our brothers, I used to go to Kaduna. I talked with his dad. His dad was an old man that time. He said they were dead. One of the people that Pastor Elton used to teach. He said when Pastor Elton is coming, that he used to dodge. You know what he could dodge? You want to hear, you don't want him to see you. That the man had eyes that, as if, once he's looking at you like this, your whole soul So once you hear priority is coming, you start checking, what did I do wrong? You start analyzing your life, because when he sees you, you just believe that God will tell him everything. So once he's approaching, you go and serve behind. That's the kind of influence he had everywhere. You can read this book. I have his biography by this man that does Christian history. Brethren, it's one of the things. Let me just say this before I get into the main thing I want to teach today. Don't compare your life with anybody. What you need to know in life is this what God wants me to be doing? And I will explain it in a moment how you'll get to know it, okay? Once you are certain about that, please, don't worry. What did I say? Don't worry. Don't be bothered. Don't worry what other people think. Billy Connolly will tell you the story of, because his wife's people. It's good you go to some of these persecutions. They abused him, they tormented him, everything. So he got angry. He went and applied for postgraduate. And he went and bought a car. Took car loan and bought a car just to show them. God said, no problem. You know what happened to that car? He lent it to somebody. The person didn't have accident with it too. The person used it, washed it and brought it back and gave it to him and parked it outside. And they thanked God, they went to sleep. They came next morning. The car was, it disappeared into thin air. The car was gone. Somebody had taken the car. They looked for the car. They said, okay, maybe they have moved it to here. He said, it was one of those journeys where they were pursuing motor. He felt the Holy Spirit and he said, wait, will you come here to look for a soul, a lost soul? No, it's lost car you came to look for. He packed his bag, went back home. He said, everybody, forget the search. You see, when an angel takes something, forget that thing. You can't find it. It's when a normal thief takes it, you will find it. When God tells an angel to go and collect it, you can't find it. An angel went and collected his own. You know, people think that angels are always nice. Who killed the firstborn of the Egyptians? Was he a demon? Was he a spirit of death? An evil spirit of death? Let's be honest. Was it an angel that God sent? Okay, those are the enemies. You know, this is how we like to preach. Those are the enemies of God. These are the enemies of God. Okay. No problem. Let's come to Israel. When Israel sinned, that when David sinned, and 70,000 died in a day and a half, who was holding the sword that God opened the eyes of David to see? Was it the devil? So these angels, they do things. Some of you that won't hear, they will slap your head. You wake up in the morning, your jaw is swollen. It's because of... You'll be going to look for a dentist, to look for a doctor. See, it's not so. It's the nonsense God has said you should stop saying. So one day you say, hey, just one angel, slap that boy for me. You were sleeping here, boom, you woke up. So what was that? You didn't think anything. You went to sleep. You wake up the next day, your whole face is swollen. Angels, they take things. They're taking my thing before. I won't tell you the story. I just prayed a prayer. I woke up the next day, the thing was it had disappeared. I said, God, I kept this thing here now. And God said, he asked me whether it was okay. I collected it just to one angel. Remove that thing. An angel took Billy Akoni's car and he never saw it again. God said, now, can you settle down and do the work? He bought the car. You know, if you buy a car, you've used your portion, it gets missing, it's okay. But you're still paying loan on a stolen vehicle. You're going to pay a car loan, the car is gone. But he fell into that because he started listening to other people. Pressure from his family, his wife's family. Went to show them that I'm not the kind of failure they think I am. Is it because we are serving God? You say that, is it because? Now God do man like this, oh. Like Pastor Kebu, they said, we need to go and collect, you know, he's from Niger Delta. So there are slots for his community in oil company work. So he wanted to go and collect the appointment letter and then file it to show everybody. Say, see, I feel do that job. I just God scared me, I go ministry. God said, what do you not want to do? Not sniff ammo. Because if you collect that thing, one spirit will enter, you go and take the job. You now fall into high sea, you know, a rig. You go there, rig one day, they will, my friend, go and join church and be pastor. Which kind of nonsense are you telling me? Who do you want to prove what to? Who do you want to prove what to? Don't owe you anything. You will not be there on the day of my judgment. You won't be there on the day of my judgment. Prove anything to you? Okay, what will you now do for me? I've proven to you now that I'm not a failure. I'm just in ministry because God called me. Okay? Okay, now you believe. And such people will not join your church. They won't listen to you. If you are preaching, they're not going to listen. So what are you wasting your energy on? And if you really are anointed, don't worry. God will bring them one day. God will bring them one day. So please, don't be distracted from what God wants to do in your life because of family people. God plans each person's life. What you should be doing, all right, is how do I, please, Christians, oh God, I'll get to my message. You say we have 2 more Saturdays. If we don't get there today, we'll get there next time. Christians, please. The other time we talked about a doer of the word, remember? Please let me preach a bit of that message again. Remember, I say a doer is an attitude. It's not if I tell you now, give. The Bible says you should give. You go out and go and give. It makes you a doer. That's not what makes you a doer. If I preach on giving and you go and give, it's good. But that's not what makes you a doer. What makes you a doer is that you have a certain mindset about life, about the word of God. For example, you walk in here, I'm preaching. The first thing in your mind is not to criticize what I'm saying. I mean, you want to hear. You want to be trans. You want the word to enter you. So if I abuse your generations, just forgive me and you keep hearing. I've seen preachers that they say they are racist. I listen to them. I've seen one, not only did they say they are racist, he was racistly talking. He was abusing Africans. As they came from the bush. Abuse. It doesn't mean that their president was granting voting rights and all of that to American blacks, that he's an idiot. He was abusing the man on the pulpit, and they were recording it. So I listened to the message. You know what I was doing? I was laughing. He talked. I was laughing. I'll tell my wife, come on here. You know, just joking with my wife that the man is abusing us, Africans. After my wife asked me that, please, why are you listening to this? I said, sweetheart, because he knows some things I've not heard anybody else preach. I said, when he finishes our business, he'll preach the gospel. Leave that thing. I said, when he's done with abusing us, he will preach the gospel. Did I bear a grudge against you? How can you grudge a man that's 20,000 kilometers away from where you are? At that time, I wasn't even sure he was alive or dead. And if he was alive that time, I was about 40 years old. He was about 90 years old. He would have been about 90. Why did he verse for 90-year-old man? And if he was in his 40s, if I see him on the road, I won't greet him. Yes. Why should I greet him? You say I'm from the bush. Because if I'll bite you. So let's not bite each other. I'll just continue. But I will go behind and still listen. Why? The word of God, my brethren, was in that man's mouth. That's a hearer, a dual attitude. I said many things that I were just for the purpose of just helping somebody who may not have been there hear the things that we said. I think I have a list of them. I said a doer loves the word, so he's always searching for it. He respects holy things. A doer is thankful, grateful for life. A doer admires true heroes. Now, why I'm referring to it, let me remind us of these two. One, actually. That a doer, now listen to this, a doer of the word, I said, is destiny-minded, is judgment-minded, is eternity-minded. That's what I was trying to refer to. That the person knows that one day I will give account for this in my life. These are the things that make the word enter you and make you act. Do you get my point? Yeah, a doer of the word actually has this attitude that one day I have to act. And that's what I'm telling you, brethren. You will know. God will go to where he planted you and say, where are you? If he planted you, let's just use Nigeria as an example, in Abuja, and you find yourself in Niamey, what's Nigeria Republic? Huh? Niamey, right? Uh-huh. And God gets to Abuja. So, Obina, where are you? Then you answer, I'm in Niger. What's the next thing you will say? Answer me. What are you doing there? And when he says, what are you doing there? Inside that question is a lot of questions. Have you gone mad? It's inside that question. Who confused you? Is that question. Is that you don't believe when I told you that I will take care of you? It's inside that question. Did I not tell you to wait for me? I'm coming back. It's inside that question. If I come there and I catch you, it's inside that question. But I won't leave here. All your blessings I've left here, are you aware of that? It's inside that question. Do you not have power to make sand bury you there? It's inside that question. One day, you'll appear before my judgment throne. Do you know what will happen that day? It's inside that question. So when he says to you, what are you doing there? Don't answer. Just carry your bag. And say, the Lord, actually, I am not there. I'm right in front of you. As you're talking, you're racing back to where he kept you. Many of us, you know what we do? We explain. You don't know that Abuja is dangerous? You don't know. The other day, they kidnapped 4 people down my street. I ran to Niger because they said if I can mine gold here, if I sell it, I'll have enough money to do ministry. I heard that Pastor Dam is trying to build permanent site. I made him a promise. I'm going to give him $100 million to it. Right now, I don't have. So I came to look for uranium. When God was saying, what are you doing here? He wasn't asking for that explanation. He was saying to you, you have missed your destiny. That's what he was saying. He said, it's not, forgive me, I want to, yeah, explain yourself. No. It's you have missed it. You're lost. You're not aware. You're blind. Now you're naked. Your problems have come and you're not aware. That's what he means. For many of us want to defend, don't ever defend yourself before the Lord. Because usually when we start defending, we are acknowledging disobedience. I don't know where I get my point. See, the defense is only necessary because you have acknowledged disobedience. And there's never any defense for disobedience. What you should do is repent. The only thing that disobedience answers to, all right, that will cure disobedience is repentance. See, what are you doing there? Say, Lord, myself, I don't know. Please, I'm coming back now. Don't give any explanation. Once he says, what are you doing there? Usually when God says, what are you doing there? I've told you before, when the word comes, in heaven, I don't think they open their mouth and talk. They just think, and the thinking is loud. So if God says, breeze blows. Go and ask Job. Breeze blows past his ears. He will hear. Where were you when Leviathan came? Well, you'll be hearing all kinds of things. Now, breeze blow past you. The spirit is pushed over into you instantly. So when God says, what are you doing here? Instantly, your life is clear. You start seeing points of disobedience. And it's very merciful. God is very merciful. What you're supposed to do is start repenting quickly. Start repenting because you see, why we miss what God is saying? Listen to what I want to say quickly. Why we miss what God said to us or what God is saying is always because we are listening to somebody else. Nobody is just defaultly deaf spiritually. It's something else you are listening to. Did you hear what I said? Spiritually, people say, go and learn how to hear God. No. You know, I keep on telling you. That thing, I'm sorry to say, those of you who preach it, I'm sorry. I'm very, very sorry. Accept my apology. I don't agree with you. There's no how in hearing God. You know what I'm saying, so? Okay, you say, but what you're saying is still how, but well, get my point. What you need is how not to hear nonsense. Are you getting my point? It's not tune your ear. Close your ear to contrary voices. Why we don't hear, people say, if you pray long enough, that's not it. When you go to pray, brethren, what you are doing is clearing away the obstructions. Spiritually, you can't be deaf. Unless God commands deafness. And you see why he commands deafness. You are hearing something. See, this is how the spirit works. You are hearing something. So when you can't hear what God is saying to you clearly, you know what? It's because you are hearing something else. Is it like what? Okay, I will tell you. Like reminder of how you have not built a house at your age. That's what you are hearing. Like somebody telling you all the time that the other day, your cousin, like when I came to the village and he built a house. When are you building your house? That is what you are hearing. Those guys who go abroad, you know, they're only sending money home. Oh. The other guy sent money the other day. His mother bought a car. He sent money the other day. He paid school fees for. That's what you are hearing. It's not like God is not talking or you are not hearing the Spirit of God that you have to go and practice how to hear. There's no practice. There's cleansing to hear. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That is, the reason why you are not hearing clearly is the other things you are hearing. Your ears are clouded with other voices. Other voices are comparing you. Who are telling you, usually those voices, they are voices of worry. Yeah, no, usually they are voices of worry. Eh? So what will not happen? Like that brother was telling you, one question he asked me one day was that, when retirement now comes, because their denomination will retire. You know, there are denominations that retire people. You know that? Yeah, all of you are looking like you're not in this country. The Anglican Church, retirement age is 70. No matter how bishopry you are going home. You know now? Winners started showing their own retirement the other day. And their own is even less than 70. These are 58, 60. Yes, when you are 60, you retire. So this brother, now, like I was telling you, now if an Anglican bishop as an example, now please, this is not criticism, just fact, all right? You retire with a house. Where is bishop? But what I say is not true.
It's true, sir.
Elder John, do you know that one? You don't know. Who? You. When? That's all? Okay, good. So, when bishop retire, did they give them your house? They do? Okay, yes. Many other things we know. We know. Compulsory. Many churches do that. When you're retired at that level, they settle you. They don't count how many churches you built or did not build. Is a rank from which you retired. So if you are building churches and you are not being promoted, you say, you know, say no retirement package for you. You were a tenant, you've been transferred here and there, and you built 20 churches in what they call virgin areas. No church had gone there. You established, people are now there worshiping. 20, but you were not a bishop when you retired. And they are going to retire you one way or the other. It's not anger, it's a structure. Some people now, you know what they now start doing? They now leave the church. So those branches, they now collect it as branches of their own church. Because man must work. You can't just, do you understand my point? Okay, let me just tell you. Forget your motivation. It's iniquity. Let me tell you what it means to follow the Lord. That fear of retirement is not allowed to lead you. Did you hear what I said? No, you are afraid to say yes. That me, answer me, don't worry. Eh? I said that fear of retirement is not allowed to lead you. It's not allowed. That day somebody told me by one pastor who came to see him, was asking for advice. He said, what is it? He wants to do this business. He said, why? Why? He said, do you see now? You see? Our general overseer, he has promoted his son. So he's suspecting that when the boy is old enough, the boy will take over from the oga. Now, the boy is not a boy, he's a man. No? You understand? Maybe he's in his 40s. When he's old enough, now his father will step down for him. And all of us will have to go. So right now, while pastoring the church, now listen, see. These are real things. Right now, while pastoring the church, his heart is not fully there anymore. His heart is in, what will happen to me when this young man takes over from his father and all of us are laid off? If you are thinking that you can never pastor well, you can't preach a sound message. This is why we don't hear God. It's not because God is not, Christians say, you will pray in tongues and your spirit is quiet. It never happens. I don't know the kind of spirit you have. This spirit don't go quiet. See, listen. When Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit, it was when Satan started talking. After the Father had declared, this is my beloved son. That's why Satan said, what? And so, you will say, beloved son, no. Beloved son, you don't have a problem again now. Turn these stones to bread. Was it not after, some of us think that after that kind of anointing, Satan, temptation would run. No, that's when temptation starts. In fact, there's no temptation when you're in the beer parlor, self. You're just in the beer parlor. You say, what are you saying? You're already tempted. You get my point? You have been tempted. If you are not the tempter. Those who have been tempted are the ones that went to church. Who anointing came upon them. Who laid hands on multitudes and they were healed. Who multiplied bread for thousands so that people said, now let us take you away from your ministry and make you a king. No, go and read it. Ministry success is when you start your temptation. John baptized, the Holy Spirit comes bodily. The whole of heaven's power comes, resides on you like a dove. You swallow it in. And say, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. You now move away. Satan now say, beloved son, we said they should come and greet you. You are the beloved son. Ekwele? Do? So, beloved son, how can you just be beloved and be hiding like this? Jump down from the temple. Let everybody know, genge, when you land. Do you get my point? My brother, I'm being honest with what I'm saying. That's when temptation comes. So. But this is my message. You are not allowed to fall for it. You must resist it. When such thoughts come to your mind, just wait for everybody to fall asleep. Then you will get up. And start first. Let me tell you how to handle such things. You first talk to the Lord. My Father, I want to thank you because you are not only my Father, you are also my God. You own me. I work for you. They have told me that this is what will happen, this is what will happen. I want you to know that I've heard it. But in the midst of the fears and the midst of the worries, I commit myself fully to you again. Father, please, let me not disappoint you. Because you see, there's nothing of this we can do by our own energy. Say, Father God, please, I don't want to miss my calling. There's a reason why you give me life. And listen to this. If I will enter it in hunger, let it be. If it's required for me not to have the material things of this life, to get into the place that you ordained, Heavenly Father, let it be. May I not make any choice, make any decision because of the fear of tomorrow. Lord, I give you my life, I give you my all, I give you my everything. I lay myself down before you again. Do with me whatever you want to do. When you've finished consecrating yourself to the Lord like that again, if that voice comes again, say, what will not happen to you tomorrow? Say, go and ask the Lord, I don't know. Your children will have to go to school. If I can't pay, they'll go and learn a trade. Just, I don't know what, you see, we sometimes, it's good to have faith and believe God for great things. Sometimes it's good to let Satan know and the world know. If the worst were to happen, I would still serve God. Say, what if you can't pay for them to go to university? They go and work. What is wrong with it? Yesterday, I was listening. Something made me... I was alone for a while. I was walking, doing some things. So I just put on music, all right? Just to give me background, because the whole place was very, very quiet. So I just put on music. So that made me remember the person whose music... I just opened my app, just scroll through. Which music have I downloaded into this app? And I saw this young woman. Wow, long time. Clicked her music. So that made me, start thinking about her. That's immigrant. Immigrant. So when I got home later, or while I was taking a break, I said to just read up on, how's she doing now? That kind of thing. Then that made me read her story. I said, That she started singing as a teenager. I did not even know. And the first year in university, she was already having shows. Do you know the woman dropped out of school to go and continue singing? She dropped out of school to go and continue singing. I don't know whether she ever went back to get a degree. And she's still, to today, so you may have problems with some things she did or did not do. She's still one of the most celebrated Christian artists of all time. Her songs are iconic. El Shaddai. El Shaddai. You remember that one? Yes. And she walked out of school. We will not die if we didn't go to this school. Do you understand? The other day, when Pastor Son graduated from school. So, okay, how far? What do you want to do now? The boy won't say he wants to go and learn to sew clothes and sell clothes. Yeah, no, those of you who are in TCC, he advertised now. That cloth he was wearing that day, the boy made it for him. He now told me, he said, see now, if I said, he said, private university, everything. The works, and they, you know how far they live from there. You know what I'm trying to say? If he's going to school, 2 flights. Returning 2 flights for all those years. So, but what do you want to do? Say, he wants to go and learn how to make clothes. And I'm saying it because he uses it to preach now. If we're in TCC. So when he was talking to me one day, he said, CEO, he said, this life is funny. He said, if when he wanted to go to school, we said, no, go and do this now. People will say, hey, 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 who, who? He said, look at it now. I spent all this. No, but you know, I keep on telling you, education is for the purpose of being educated. Yeah, that's what it is. So it's a good experience. You will learn. In fact, I'm a preacher today from the things I learned in university, even though I studied medicine and surgery. But my Bible school was in my room, was in my fellowship amongst my brethren, the Light of Christ community. That's the name of our fellowship on campus. I was ordained, listen, I was ordained into ministry. People said, you go for ordination? I did. Oh, you're not aware. I'm an ordained minister. Who ordained me? My brethren. Light of Christ Community Alumni Fellowship. My wife and I went, presented ourselves, told them the plans, and at the end of the meeting, they called us outside there, one convention, and we knelt down, and brethren surrounded us and placed their hands upon us and prophesied and sent us forth. I was ordained. I don't have a certificate, though. My certificate is called Obina. Even Chibikem is my certificate. He said, are you called? I said, go and meet Chibikem. Where is this boy? This one that normally sits here. Didn't work here. The day I knew I was called, I sat at home. Mistakenly tuned to one radio station. Ah, I was hearing one guy talk. He was talking and talking and talking. I told my wife, this guy listens to us. I just heard myself talking. I said, no, this guy, that certificate. One day, one man was passing through town. Then I'd preached for him before in the head of Northern. SU has 2 segments, North and South. So the Northern segment, they had a conference years ago. I was the one that went to preach. Reverend, can you remember? We went together. So they had a national conference in Okigwe one day. So they were driving through, it's from Jos. So they were driving through Enugu on their way back. Then they happened to put on the radio on Sunday morning. And Pastor Kimute was doing World versus World. So he listened and listened. Most people would say, I'm the one preaching. He said, no, that's not Pastor Banke. He said, but this young man listens to Pastor Banke. He just heard him preach. He said, I'm sure this guy listens to Pastor Banke. So he called me and said, ah, I heard somebody on radio. I told my people in the car that he listens to you. I said, that must be Pastor Okemute. I said, what time he told me? I said, no, that's what this was worth in the morning. Somebody said, certificate. I don't have a certificate to physically show you. If you say we have a certificate, we'll pack all of you. Pack all of you. That is certificate. Well, I'm going to say, so don't come and, I said something on the side there. I hope you guys learn some things from some of the things I say here and there. You don't need it. You see, if you are, the people I say they retire, look, if you are called, human beings can retire from their structure. Human beings can retire from their structure. But the anointing cannot be retired. Human beings can retire from their structure. If you have grace to keep planting churches, brethren, keep planting it. keep. He said, but it won't have a name. Ah. What is wrong? We call it Church of God Freshly Planted. Reverend Yinka, have I lied? Then if you want to move to another one, you raise a pastor from there, or God will lead somebody who has zeal for such. You hand over to him, move to another one. When you're an old man, you're 100 years old, you'll be in a church you planted. They say, that the time to come and minister, you realize that you have gone home to be with the Lord. That's better. Nobody can retire you and send you home. No human being can. No, fact, no human being can. Civil servants, they make me laugh. Honestly, civil servants. You work till they say you are retired and you now go home and go and join a village, you know, Ozo in the village, council of Ozos, selling vidicore, land dispute. They will soon use knife to break your head in one of the where you go to settle dispute. It's God that sent you, my friend. What are you doing here? You are a civil servant? What are you civilly serving? Do you follow my point? Yes. No, it's a question you ask yourself. Some of you are just carrying fire from up. Sack yourself. That's not work. Some people just want to sit down, cross their leg. End of the month, collect salary. If it comes late, go on strike. Abuse government. That is why you will get, see, retirement time, you will be retired and you realize that you were never active all your life. You were never, see, how can you be 60? 60 is not old age. I hope you get my point. It's not old age. When they say retire at 60 in civil service, you know what they mean? This money has to go around. You are not contributing much anyway. So let somebody else come and collect their own without contributing much. Those really contribute. See, as you leave one place, you know what happened? You move to another. So please, if you're a civil servant, go and start thinking. What will I be doing if I'm retiring? Do you understand? What I'm doing now, how can I... Now, I'm not talking about worrying about the future. It's not about money. It's about being constantly productive. That's what I'm saying. So it's not only pastors. That's the point I'm trying to make. Whatever you are doing for the government, you can do it for yourself. You can do it for somebody else. You can do it for another company. A lot of our private universities in Nigeria, look, it's very good that government is retiring people in public universities. You know why? That is where the private universities get lecturers. Yes, sir. Oh, they are just waiting. Okay, sure, you don't retire for federal university. Yes, come. Come. We'll give you the same salary. The people just transit immediately. And they still have 10 full productive years. One of the men I admired the most in the science world, he was giving lectures till he was 99. I'm sure he gave lectures at the age of 98. I was following his best days, Charles Towns, hoping he would make it to be 100 years old. He was still supervising PhD students. He was 90-something. In one university in the United States. I don't want to quote a wrong one. I told his name. But you want to retire at 75 and go to at 65 and go to the village. I'm having village meetings. Some of those people, just because there's nothing else to do. So they have to look for land dispute. To be having meetings over. Then somebody now die. Now you make burial difficult for us. So a lot of people just go and say that, no, you don't need to do that. Now back, you know, the reason why I went to do this is talking about the people who are afraid. What will happen after many? See, brethren, if you are anointed, you are still anointed though. Even if the denomination retires you, you are still anointed. You that I'm talking to, you know. Don't be afraid, you know. I was talking to Pastor the other day. We were talking about something. See, some people, hey, how can you leave ministry to do this? I said, it's because they were not called to ministry in the first place. They were promoted to ministry. So please, let me say to some of you who are preachers, you are in denominations. Ask yourself, am I called and promoted? I told Pastor Corey, we were talking about that. I mentioned about the denomination. I said, I can beat my chest and say most of their pastors are not called. I mentioned another one. I said that one, my own assessment, most of the pastors are called to ministry. So they use the structure of that denomination. As I mentioned another one. I said this one, the way they do is clear. Most of the pastors are not called. I'm asking you listening to me, go and ask yourself, am I called or I was promoted? If you feel you were not called, I beg you today, go and see whoever is in charge of that district. Resign from that promotion. It's not good for you. Being a deacon is everybody's portion in church. Anybody, whether you are called to ministry or not, you can be an elder, you can be a deacon, you can be a worker, you can be anything. But the title pastor, avoid it if you're not called. Because it's going to confuse you. When they retire, you realize that when you leave that denomination, you now go and rent a hall. You go shout, tire, buy a megaphone, buy everything. Nobody's answering. You don't have a calling. It's the name of the denomination that's gathering people around you. There's nothing wrong with it. Just refuse that ordination. If you don't feel called by God, I'm telling you, refuse it. And if you took it years ago, go and resign it. There's one brother I know. I was somewhere one day. He said he's going to start a branch of a church. I said, hey. I called him. I said, you. They said you want to start a branch of a church. Are you okay? He was laughing. I said, no, I'm not joking. I heard they say you are going to start a branch of a church. I said, when did that one start? He was laughing. At the end of the day, after many wasted years, he has left. He used his own hand to resign. As far as I'm concerned, that experience scattered his life. It's like Dami telling me now that he has opened the shop in Obuete. You know, I'm going to ask yourself, Dami, please, what happened? I said, what are you doing there? He said, I'm selling Pastor Banky's books. I was thinking about that. No, the people you just know. You get my point. Some things they don't just fit them. Doesn't just fit. I just look. So it's not. I just look. I say, excuse me. When did this one start? All he was doing that day was laughing. He was laughing. I said, are you sure? He was laughing. I was sure. I just was not sure. He knew what he was doing. After many wasted years, I'm sorry to say, he packed his things and left them. Thank God, something still good. I mean, God, you know, God is donkey principle. You use anything. So ask yourself. That's why you need to be afraid. If you are not where, see, and listen to me. If you're a civil servant, you're working somewhere, ask yourself, do I have a skill? What am I blessing people with? How? See, don't work for 10 years and your skill in life has not improved. Let me tell you the good thing about it. I mean, I want you to know you are blessed. The day you are officially being retired, you are excited. Because now you have more time to do what you wanted to do. Yeah, no, that's it. Your denomination says, let's go back to pastors. The denomination says that, okay, you are now 60 years old. You can no longer pastor in this church. Why is that an issue? If you had the grace of God upon you and you had the word of God upon your mouth, stay in that sitting room and start preaching. Tell me, you know why I said it began all of these things? It is the other things we hear. That's why we don't hear the voice of God. It's all the other noise that we hear. It's the reason why we don't hear the voice of God. It's not about practice. Hey, yeah, sit like this in one corner. Be silent. God will speak to you. As long as worry is talking to you. See, let me tell you how it goes. God will speak to you. After all, as I'm speaking now, the Holy Spirit is speaking to everybody. Yeshua will speak to you after he come outside as the issue. The birds of the air, they are waiting outside there. So, but you don't finish church? Yes. All that one pastor is saying, sure, you know why he's saying it now. You don't chop belly full. Look at the car his wife drives. The youngest of his children is entering university now. So he can be saying what he's saying now. His wife is very cool. His wife is not like your own. That's why he's talking about this one, he said. To say, marry the kind wife, where you marry, he could talk this kind of nonsense. These are boys who have chopped in this country. They've chopped in this country. Somebody actually told somebody this. Obina. They actually told somebody this. They were arguing on first fruit, tithing, all those kind of things. He said, Pastor Bankole says that because he's a doctor, he doesn't need money. Yeah. Obina. Somebody said to another person. So the guy now came and met me. This is what they said. I said, did you hear him well? He said, what do I mean? I said, he said what he only says because he's not a doctor and he's broke. I said, it's okay now. I said, case settled. He said, what I'm saying because I have money. So what he's saying, what does it mean? He doesn't have money. It's why he's preaching what he's preaching. I said, so why are we still discussing that? We now agree this is a poverty fuel doctrine. Hey, leave it. You know, some people now, no, I know they argue. Hey, God has helped me now. The only person I argue with now, I don't even argue with her again, it's my wife. I've just stopped arguing. If she says, if I say one, to say another one, I say, okay, I don't hear. The grace of God will speak to her. I say, over there, I'm sorry, damn it. If you are spending time, tell Chizurum, that pastor commanded you not to argue about anything again. But make sure you are right, too. Don't be, I won't argue and you are wrong. That's not what I'm saying. Don't go around be harassing women like that, too. That's not what I'm preaching, no. But don't use argument to get your way in the house. You are not a husband like that. You are an area boy. So, if you are a husband, you don't use arguments to get your way. You speak the word of God. You speak it from the position of knowledge and authority. And you don't make noise. It is your wife's duty to decide whether she wants to hear it and submit to it. In doctrine, I don't argue with anybody again. I stopped that thing long ago. Maybe when I was with my friends. This is doctrinal matter. No. Because I realize that most of these doctrines are not engineered by letters well studied. Yes. They're engineered by needs in the heart. Yes. People are solving other problems. You don't understand. Like this one, I'm arguing with that guy. The guy said, after I start church, I borrowed money to finish this church. Believing that if I can get 50 high net worth individuals regularly tithing for me on a monthly basis, we will pay the bank. You know, I shouldn't pay. Nonsense. I will preach the doctrine until I pay my loans. Then after that, I say, hey, what were you saying? I'm telling you, somebody said that. So when people talk about hearing God, hearing God, you can't hear when somebody else is talking. Yes, sir. When you live here, they start telling you other things. One brother, it pains me that when it happened, he had a very vibrant ministry and all of that. Then one day he packed himself. He talked to me a bit, you know. But by that time, I wanted to talk to him, but it was too late. He packed his wife and children, and they moved to North America. You know what people said about it? They said, laughing at him. Say, he don't go settle in family now. And he's telling us, you are not getting my point. Yes. So, yeah. Everything he said, if he's like, argument starts. You can't hear God. It's not possible when you have arguments. I want to tell that brother, I said, brother, relax, because actions you take, it makes certain statements. Somebody at the United States say, come. That's what they preach. They not call that guy for me. That's how he was going around preaching. He has not gone to settle his family now. Damn. Somebody actually told one of our pastors, one of our brothers said, that be careful how you follow Pastor Bankio. His wife's father is very rich. I'm telling you. That if everything scatter, she could go beg her papa. I know you. Your papa is not rich. I don't think your wife's father is very rich. Stop following people whose wives has rich parents. If you go and marry DJ Copy, you know, say, your ministry is not getting a problem. You know who's DJ Copy?
Yes, sir.
You know?
Yes, sir.
How you taking the pressure? This is another church you didn't go. Yeah, these are the things people say. That's why you can't hear God. People think, oh, hearing God is, I tune my ears. No. One day, one of my brothers, there's nothing I'm telling you I've not seen. One of my brothers, they have seen issue in their church, he's a pastor. They had many pastors. So one of the pastors left. And somebody followed him and said, man, you have left. Now, let's do today's Naira. All right? So yeah, this is good. I'm happy people like you are answering God's call, giving for like 40 or 50 million Naira. So the guy went in one major city, rented, you know. So this guy, he called my brother. He said, oh boy, you said God has not talked to you. No, God has to talk to you. Go and pray. Let God talk to you. Did you hear that? You don't get it. You'll get it one day. They give somebody heavy offering. He started church. He called his friend. He said, man, God must talk to you. You're not getting it. Damn it. Are they getting it? That is, oh, you don't understand. That is one way or the other. Hear God. Money day. You don't understand. The motive. He told him, the guy said, God has not told him. He said, no, go back and pray. God has to tell you. Look at his money. So after a while, the guy will pray. You know what he will do? He will hear God. One of our brothers, he lives abroad. He's always encouraging people to leave Nigeria. So one day, somebody left. Called the person's friend. He said, okay, see your friend has gone now. Better go and pray and hear God though. You're not hearing what I'm saying?
Yes,
somebody is telling you, go and pray so that God can tell you to go abroad. That is, before you go there, you've made up your mind, God, what he wants to say. Brethren, forget that. See, Pastor Corey told me, he used to tell people, see, what did God tell you? He said, now he has realized. When he told me that day, I laughed. He said, man of God, I've realized people hear what they want to hear. That is why me, I'm not even saying, God told me to do this. I said, bro, God told you. I need to know, because there are many voices. I need to know the other things inside your heart before you can tell me that God told you. Because God told Balaam to go also. God told Balaam to go. The reason we hear God or don't hear God well is not because he's speaking or because we learned how to pray in tongues and we learned how to grow. People say, when you groan, after you finish groaning, you press pause. The first thing that comes to your mind is nothing. Is that it? The first thing that comes to your mind is the one you are thinking about the most. If you have not eaten, the first thing that comes to your mind is food. If that is the first thing that comes to your mind. This is that we can't make laws. The thing you can make laws, that's what I'm telling you. Purify your heart constantly. It's those other voices you hear that confuse you. There are too many other things you're hearing. That's why you can't hear what God is saying correctly. Because of the too many other things. And relatives are the number one. Relatives can confuse. They are the number one. What word did I use there? Voice, alternative voice. Okay. So what did you now say now? And when are you now leaving that job and getting another one? Did I tell you I was planning to leave that job and get another one? No. In this country, you know, they'll be harassing you and harassing you. And many of them, they mean well. They mean very well. The harassment, they will harass you for your own good. Please, let me tell you how you know Satan. I've said it here many times. How do you know Satan? Who can remember? Some of you are very good students. Some people, they are not very good, but... High five, Joe. Who is low five? Your interest is first. Not the interest of God. It's always your own interest. It's not the interest of God. If it's not of Satan, it's more of... No, God created all of us for a purpose, though. As long as you are fulfilling the purpose of God for your life, it will, even if they don't know how to determine it, at least it will come first in your thoughts. It is come first in your thoughts. I was telling somebody the other day, where was I having this discussion with somebody? That one of the things that impressed me early about my wife, we were not married that time, say, I just want to be where God wants me to be. I just want to be where God wants me to be. That is, she was aware that God, in fact, in the fellowship there on campus, they used to teach it. That even NYC, God wants you to be somewhere. Do you get my point? See, as a Christian, let me just, we're talking about what a doer is. A doer is very minded about these things. You don't, it's not every opportunity you jump for. You're walking somewhere, somebody has counted on you, they are walking, then suddenly they say, have you heard? Heard what? If you just move to this company, they double the salary. Brethren, sometimes there's a testimony like that and it's valid. It, for many people, it's nothing but a trap. It's a way of God telling them, what are you doing there? Before you do that, I'm not saying you should never move that kind of movement. No, I'm not saying this is forbidden. But just go and pray first. See, most times we Christians will make decisions. Eh? Please let me say it again. They are rational. They are not irrational. They are very rational. Most times we can work out the will of God with our mind. We think them out. The only thing is that when I say they are rational, they are rational to those who believe the word of God. They are rational, listen to this, to those who hold the precepts of God as theirs. Do you get what I'm saying? They are very rational, but they are irrational to those who don't hold your standards. Like now, maybe somebody say, a new job opportunity is open, but it's just for 24 hours. You have to, and only those who report on Monday, and they're telling you on Thursday. Here, your salary is maybe, just for the discussion, is 1,000 naira. The other one is going to become 2,000. But you have to report on Monday, and that's it. A rational person, humanly speaking, we say, man, a man has to watch out for himself. Opportunity comes but once. If this door closed, you don't want that one open. A bird in hand is also in the bush. These are all things you don't find in the Bible. Everyone helps help themselves. See, four precepts now. None of them scriptural. But the other person says, hi, a faithful man who can find. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, faithfulness. He remembers that. Say, Kai, my office, we are doing this over the next 3 months and I'm pivotal in it. How can I leave now and throw them into jeopardy? Somebody say, will that take care of your mother? Will that take care of... That's what they are saying. You are saying, no now. But today is Thursday. I will suddenly leave. And people have done, I've seen people do it again and again. My wife will get to work on Monday. Somebody sent a resignation letter through another person. Somebody you are depending on to resume for work on Monday. Nothing with the courtesy of saying, please, one more week. Let me allow you. No, just work out. I feel sorry for them. I say, you definitely are not planned to be blessed in this life. You know, your plan is that I will not succeed. We Christians, we think differently. You say, what about my people here where I work? When they come on Monday, what will happen to them? It will concern you. How can it not concern me? How can it not concern me? Of course it will concern you now. There are little things. See, I told you one day, one of our brothers, he was traveling abroad. You know, you're just changing planes. He got to one of these countries. Let me just not bother mentioning which one now. And he ran to another of his brothers, you understand, Christian brothers, at the airport. What are you doing here? He said, my company sent us for training. What? Your company sent you for training abroad? Yes. And you took it? That one was quiet. He said, were you not the one that told me you are emigrating, you are leaving Nigeria and going abroad the next 3 months? Yes. Why will you take it? You know this man is a private company. He's investing money, flight tickets, hotel accommodation, course fees. And you took it. Brethren, it's called wickedness. That was your opportunity to go and say, Oga, hey, thank you for the confidence you have in me for this opportunity. But sir, I can't go. I said, why? Fred, you've been very, very good. Sir, I meant to tell you later, but I intend to resign. Why are you resigning? I'm emigrating. Why will you take? You know, I said it on Tuesday. This behavior we are having these days, is satanic. It's satanic. Do you know, as I left here on Tuesday, as if God planned it, of course, he plans everything. I saw a video that was done on that thing I was mocking about on Tuesday. A young woman went and met her boyfriend or fiance, whatever they are. They are really that close. I mean, they've started the video with her and the boy's mother. No cooking, doing stuff, checking the mother's BP. You seen the video? He won an award. 9 minute film. So, he went to meet the boy in the park one of those days. And they were just doing, you know, they just, you know, the tagging. You know what they call tagging? Taiwo, you sure? Uh-huh. Anyway, just, you know, love play. See, see as you're fine. See, you can, you're just, you know, they were at the park, you know, throwing popcorn and catching with his mouth. Then suddenly he stopped. I said, I'm traveling on Saturday. You guess it? Traveling to where? He's going abroad. Today is Wednesday. How come I'm just hearing now? He said, you know, mom, see now, she's so spiritual. It's because spiritual. He said, I didn't tell anybody, so I couldn't tell you. Oh, me, of all people. She vex. Now I say on Tuesday, we'll be behaving like crazy people. The boy begged her, please. She was a nursing student. Said, when you finish nursing school, don't worry. I will come back. I will get a company. We'll now go together. He was begging her. It's okay. It's not to the guy. Say, you wanted to tell me something before. The guy said, no, it doesn't matter now. It doesn't matter anymore. So they talked. On Saturday, when he was leaving, he went to her house to go and knock. Hello? Nobody in the house. Make a long story short, the girl had traveled to Germany the day before. He was even far better than her because he was there. He said, I'm in your house. I came to say goodbye. Where are you? She couldn't answer. He started calling. She saw the call. She was, no, not the day before. That day. That same day. The mother was driving her to the airport. And the mother said, I hope you didn't tell anybody. Oh, this is your mouth. I know you talk. He said, Mommy, I didn't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. He said, I didn't tell now. He said, the guy who wrote that movie, that guy is brilliant. He said, by the way, how's your German? Learned German all this while. The boy had no idea. The day he was traveling was the day she traveled. She just left earlier. Two crazy people. Two mad families. This is a painful part. This is a painful part. Two Christian families. Yeah. They are the, see, they are the ones now. They are the ones that prophets have confused their soul. That one, the boy said to the kids, you know mom, see now, she's over all this spiritual thing. She didn't tell anybody. That one, we heard the mother say, I hope you did not tell anybody. I said, when you believe nonsense, you start behaving like you're mad. I hope such people don't get married. I hope not. Because you see, confusion in the family. You don't know who's pushing the woman. You don't know. This false prophet, I had one pastor talk the other day, the pastor that I was talking. He said, who God will judge? I said, amen. I said, this man, me and you are in the same frequency. God has to judge us with a special. Their judgment, because it's wickedness. You destroy families for what you are going to get. It's wickedness. I will say to you again, those who are Christians, he prepares the table before you in the presence of your enemies. Any plan an enemy can score to spiritually was not meant to happen in the first place. You be grateful for those enemies. Yes. No enemy. I mean, I don't hide my plan. Hide from who? Unless it doesn't concern you. If I hear what Obina said. Obina said, I'll even use it to preach. My wife has resigned to her faith in life. Preaching subjects. That these pastors, they carry our whole life. If you do something yesterday, I will come tomorrow and preach it. Witches have not been able to do anything. What can they do? In fact, if you can tell me where witches gather, let me go there and sit down. And eat. And they are the ones that will cook the food. I will eat it. What can they do? It's not food. I've told you. Anybody that wants to stop witchcraft should take my money. Do you get my point? Like you said, witches, if you give them money now, they will use it to do you something. That is the, if you are Olori Egbe, that is the day they will destroy. You know what's Olori Egbe? The head of the witches, the Aje. Do you understand? The head of the coven. The day you take my money, you've lost your throne. As you are spending it, the spirits will be running away from you. And if you mistakenly eat the rice I brought to the village, even if you go and lie down before the shrine of Baal will say, I'm not greedy. Say, you ate the food of God. You are not saved though. But at least you can no longer witch effectively. Your witching powers would have finished. But yeah, Christians would be afraid. Let me see my message. If I get that one now. I'll say this one. So those who have been preaching to you, I've seen their videos on social media. Don't tell anybody. Just know that they are running you mental. Evil spirits will trouble you like that. You become afraid. Don't follow them. You hear what I said? What did I say? If God blesses you, announce it loudly. Ah, guys, I don't tell you I buy a moto. What is the moto? Ah, it is cheap now. It is come. Which model? 2025 model. Praise God. Oh, boy, you get money. No, so I say I'm. Tell them, they don't clear Amo. They cleared it yesterday. They are bringing it to Enugu next week. Let them all go and wait at Onitsha Bridge. With the plan to carry the water, put inside the water. Carry the car and put inside the water. It's a good plan. Because the Bible says their own arrow will enter their heart. So the car they used to go to that bridge, if indeed they were witches and wizards, you know what happened to the car? It will enter the water. But because you prayed for them, they will swim out. And if you didn't pray for them, then your story has killed somebody. They can't stop your vehicle. Nothing will happen. What did I say? Do you know why? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That is even assuming those people are really enemies. Most of the people you call enemies, they are nothing but confused people too. They are just jealous people. Enemy and jealous people are two different things. So enemies can't do anything. Some people just look and say, I just want that car to catch fire. It won't catch fire. And if it catches fire, you know what will happen? Who can tell what will happen? Oh, no. Somebody who has revelation, you tell me, if the car catches fire, who knows what will happen? The newer model God will give you. You will buy a better one. You know, they have a... I give you proverbs. Another proverb from Western Nigeria. They say if the king's... They say if the palace burns, it only adds beauty. Did you hear that?
Yes, sir.
You don't get it. That when the palace burns, it only adds beauty. Who can decode that? You should be able to decode it. Yes, now, huh? When you burn the palace, heaven will come together and build a better, a more modern one. They say, hey, I didn't like the walls of that one anyway. Thank God. Somebody say amen to that.
Yeah.
Heaven will build you a new palace.
Yeah.
That's a decree of the Almighty. Well, let's get into today's message, Joe. The Lord is good. Look at my time. You should remove the time. Please, all of you, please. This is Obina man. He and his partner. That one is not here today. They're okay. You know what he said? That we should remove the clock. That's because the clock is there. That's why I'm noticing the time. Obina, is that good? Is he hearing the message? The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Let me just introduce this. This is what I wanted to preach. We'll preach it next time. What did I preach today, Tammy? Okay, yes. You are unique. God is taking you somewhere. Yeah, don't let other voices obstruct what God's really saying to you. And those other voices are generally voices of worry anyway. Yes, and many times they are relatives. And the people who hear God, who don't hear God correctly, it's not because God is hard to hear. It's because too many other things are speaking in their ears. And some of those things, like I said, they are voice of worry, voice of comparison, voice of impatience. They are things that make you not hear God. So please, brethren, when you go to pray so you can hear God, what you do most of the time is to remove the hindrances. Are you getting my point? Yeah, sometimes. It can be making a marriage decision. Making a marriage decision. This sister checks all the boxes, but those but things are the things you take to prayer. And never, please let me add this one before I say this and I will close. Never go against God in your decisions. You hear what I said? What did I say? Don't.
When I say go against God, I don't mean what God said to me. You see, let me tell you, what God says to all of us is the precept of Scripture. Are you getting my point? Always do that which is reasonable in the eyes of God. What did I say? When we talk about being led by the Spirit, that's what it means. People want to say, no, I pray my Spirit. No. Please forget that and don't disturb us, okay? According to divine precepts, what you have said, is it right? The story I was telling about a job resumed by on Monday. Okay, you moved, fine. Let's now analyze that by Scripture, using the Word of God. Is that right? Is faithfulness no longer highly prized in life, as far as God is concerned? Is a man's life now assessed by that much money is earning? Does God need this new job to bless you when you are going to create confusion and disorder for somebody else? Like the story I was telling about the brother who somebody said, I don't know the person, I'm just gisting, all right? But people do that a lot. Why won't faithfulness speak to you and love? That's what they call being led by the Spirit. Another word used for the Word of God in the Bible is the Spirit of God. And I can prove that to you. Colossians 3:16 says what? Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Go and read the same in Ephesians chapter 5. The same thing, go and read the context. He said, be filled with the Spirit. It's the same thing he was saying. It's the same thing he was saying. So if the precepts of God guide you, that's the Spirit of God guiding you. So this thing I'm doing, is it reasonable? I remember those days, on Lagos, I didn't have work for some time. I've told the story many times. And you see, how God will lead you into the center of his will. We were saying that God has an ordained thing for you. That's how he does it. As you're making little decisions here and there that are pleasing to him, he's using those things to guide you into the center. I went somewhere today, okay, get, please, I apply for a job in a particular place. They asked me one simple question. If we employed you, how long will you stay? I answered them. I said, I'm sorry. I applied for residency position in Lagos University Teaching Hospital. But they are closed now because it's a strike. I just want something that I will be doing until the place opens. And that means it's not predictable now. No, I'll give you notice at least for a few weeks before I go and resume work. They say in that case, you know, it's difficult for us. So I said, thank you, sir. And I leave. I went to many places like that. And we had the same conversation. So I go home one day and my auntie was there. So we're just, you know, they're just being debriefed about all of these things. What's happened? And after, you know, I said, stop telling them that you are going to leave after some time now. I said, but ma, they asked me. Tell them you will stay. I said, but that would be a lie. I don't know whether I get the point. She was concerned. Ah, you're a young doctor. You don't have work. Clinical. Go and get a job. You are trying. You are not getting. Why are you not getting? Because you keep volunteering information that you applied in the teaching hospital for a residency position. And they've granted it, but the place is shut down because of a prolonged strike. The strike was very long. So my auntie said, why do you keep telling them? I said, because they keep asking. Brethren, you know what God used to want to do? So you know what happened? I now got a new job. The one I now got, my God. They gave me an official car. It was a Range Rover. No. Land Cruiser, sorry. FG, with driver, small boy like me, I just finished NYSC. The salary they were paying was four times what was average in the market. Praise God. It's a lie, brethren. It's a lie. Nothing happened. But that period is what I'm telling you, brethren. It's a foundation of my ministry till today. All I was doing was hearing the gospel. All I was doing was listening to the word of God. But just telling the truth. I was just saying things the way they were. I hope you're getting my point. See, that is how you find yourself in the center of God's will. That's how you find yourself in the center of God's will. It's not by... What we make as decisions must be reasonable in the ears of God. Do you get my point? Each detail must be pleasing to him. Once each detail is pleasing to him, you will be in the center of the will of God. I say that boldly. You will be in the center of the will of God. Let me say this again and I close there. Never. What did I say? Never consciously take a decision against God's express precept. I don't know that you heard me well. Never consciously take a decision against God's precept. Never. Please, I don't want to start preaching about that. Never. No matter how painful following God's precept is, follow it too. Maybe in your village, they say that people like this, are from this and this. Their great grandfather, now Ubanje spirit. So they have decided that they will never marry from there. You now went to church. You know church? Okay, let me speak English. You went to church. You went to church. You now met this sister. Met the girl fine. At least in your eye. You know, fine, now inside eye day. You know, now inside eye day. Because there are some guys who say, man, he won't die when they see this girl. They look at the girl like, is that so? Now say, like him. It's God that did like that too. I don't want to say, wait, there's a message that's in my heart. That way. When the Bible says, the way of a man with a maiden, Solomon says it's confusing. Now, after many years of growing and watching life, it's confusing. So you go to this church, this sister just spoil your life like that. That is, you can't think straight again. You come to church, pastor is preaching, you're looking at her, she's responding. She loves God. One day you go to the children's church, you see her, even the children, even the way she's clapping, you can't sleep. You will see her clap in your dream. You talk to her, love the Lord, love everything, perfect. And she just be the correct time. Just finished NYC last year. Just that age where the women, they answer if you talk. You now decide to start talking. And as they talk. Pastor will preach, he will confirm them. You know, there are things pastor will preach and spoil. But some he will preach and confirm it. According to one man, he confirmed it. Confirmed it. Then you now go and tell your father. And your mother now says, from where? You now describe their village. One side of Imo there, or is it Kogi this side? Hey! Oh! Those people that they are great grandfather. Then the Holy Spirit come. It came with you that day. You know, sometimes two angels will go, but there are times it's led by the Lord. So Solomon and Gomorrah, that one, those three people came that day and said to you, if anyone is in Christ, it's a new creature. The word was clear. It was so clear. Your father said, what did you say? Did I say anything? You said it out loud. It bubbled out of you. Brethren, if you don't marry that girl, what do your eye go see? You're not going to believe her. Let me tell you other voices. They are waiting for you outside. Your aunties. Those people. They are the real witches. You don't know. They're like, Peleo, Andrew. Your mother told us, hey, whoa. That was how story starts. You know that your cousin, he did not listen. Till now, he's not normal. Because he fell sick after a few years. We told him that time, his spine began to degenerate. The witch is dead. They chopped the spine. Said, leave that one, sir. You remember that your uncle? Yeah, that one. The one immediately, the one that the house collapsed mysteriously. Till now, he has not recovered himself. It was the same place we said he shouldn't marry from. But not say he shouldn't marry, we just say be aware of this thing. That's why you know witches are your case. Your mother will say, lie. See, you're a man. I didn't even use a woman because there's a way women matter be. Even women, you will still stand your ground. See, let me explain something. You are standing your ground not for your affection. No. You are standing your ground because somebody has sealed a word from God. The word that says, if anyone is in Christ, is a new creature. All of Obanje grandsisters have passed away. Do you understand? All things have been made what? New. That is the word you are standing with. You're not standing like, pray, God says, no. See, my spirit said, that was your, believe that thing. Your spirit can say one thing today, say another thing tomorrow. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about they are sealed directly. Your mother didn't say, no, forget whether she's fine or not. Fine doesn't mean anything. It's deceitful. It's vain. But let's just say,
Your mother says she's fine. I know the girl is good character. I said, I'm a member of your church. And her children's school teacher herself. That's good girl. But, so they left, see, God planted you there to fight that particular precept. Say, find another thing, though. Mommy, if this one, find me another thing. If it's this one, I'm sorry. Say, we'll never agree. Say, you have to understand. I'm standing with God. I can never go against him. How will he solve it? I don't know. Will he solve it? That's the matter between the two of you. But it must never be that you opened your eyes. Are you getting my point? And went against direct precept of heaven.